We thank you, Lord, for this Lenten season when we can encounter you in a new way. Thank you that your word in this time is important for our hearts, that you, Lord, know that we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from you. So help us, Lord, to be open to your word tonight. We praise your name. Well, on the first Sunday of Lent, we always have the account of the temptations of Jesus. Because Lent is for 40 days, and Jesus went into the desert for 40 days, fasting there, and he was tempted by the devil. But I think to be able to understand this well, it's good to see what happened just before this. We're told, at the beginning of this account, he came from the Jordan. What's that mean? Well, he'd just been in the Jordan, baptized in the Jordan River. And when he came out of the waters, he heard those beautiful words from the Father, "You are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you." So this is a secret of Jesus, because it's the bedrock of his whole life journey, that he knew the Father's love and trusted in the Father's love. 1 John says, we're the people who put our faith in God's love for us. And if that's true about us, we will be like Jesus, that even though the temptations will come, we won't lose our trust in God. Because you see, every temptation from the very beginning and the very first temptation, every temptation from the evil one is a temptation to mistrust God. The enemy tries to undermine our trust in the love of God. That's his purpose. And if he can do that by whatever he presents to us, then we fall. It happened with Adam and Eve, did it not? Remember, Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of good and evil because that would go wrong for them. And the knowledge they gained there is that of God's. And so they went ahead after the temptation. And remember, the lie that Satan sowed into their minds. Did God really say to you that you should eat of this fruit? You will not die if you eat of that fruit. You see, mistrust is what Satan wants us to have in our hearts. Not fully trusting the word of God, but allowing ourselves to be persuaded that God does not, or at least he's not trustworthy. And that's exactly what happened here with Jesus. After having heard those words of the Father, which we too have heard in the quiet of our hearts, if we've allowed our baptism to be real, we hear the Father whispering to us, "You are my Son, you are my daughter, the Beloved. My favor rests on you." And that is our shelter, that is our strength, that is our refuge. That is what we hold in our hearts, no matter what is thrown against us from Satan. When Jesus went into the desert, he was tested in this. And the first temptation, you know, came against the basic desires. You know, if we think of food and drink and sexual satisfaction, you know, Jesus is hungry. And Satan knows this. And so he tempts him to turn those stones into, you've got power, you know, turn them into bread, and then you'll have something that will satisfy. The fundamental temptation that we all experience at some time or other, to lust, to greed, to have it now for me, because I'm craving for it. And Jesus simply replies with the word of God, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, he doesn't succumb to the lie. And the second one, Jesus taken up a high mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the world, and here they are. They've been given to me, because the world is under the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, huh? And all you have to do is bow down and worship me. Power, glory, status, honor, wealth, everything offered. Huh? All the things that some or other we crave for sometimes, thinking that's going to satisfy my soul. And Jesus simply says, Scripture says that God alone is to be worshipped. We're to worship God alone. Now, he doesn't fall for the lie. He doesn't give himself over to mistrust the love of the Father. That the love of the Father is far greater and such so much more beautiful, so much more wonderful than anything the world can offer. And the third one, of course, is taken up to the top of the temple and throw yourself down and prove yourself. Show yourself off to others and say how you're the Son of God after all. The whole temptation to presumption. But again, Jesus does not fall for it. And when Jesus has the victory here in the desert, it was his victory, but it's now our victory. That whatever comes against us, we too can still hold to the truth deep within our hearts that God the Father is all we need. That he is our joy. He is our hope. No, he is our strength, our stronghold. We can put our trust in him. Psalm 91 there, which we heard sung today. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High and abides in the shade of the Almighty says to the Lord, my refuge, my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. Yes, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are the one in whom I trust. I will not listen to the lies of Satan, trying to seduce me to lose my trust in you, my God, and so give myself over to things that are going to do me great damage. But no, I trust in you. And I know that you will protect me in the hour of temptation, that you will provide everything that I need to rescue me when I need it. As it says here, the one who sets his love on me, I will rescue him. I'll protect him because he knows my name. When he calls, I shall answer, I am with you. So when we call out to the Lord in a moment of temptation, he'll be there. I am with you. He will never desert us. Remember that text in 1 Corinthians where Paul says it so well, God is faithful. And he'll never allow you to be tested beyond your strength. And with every testing, he will give you the means to endure it. This is God's great gift to us. We can put our trust in him and not allow ourselves to succumb to the temptations of the evil one. In this Psalm 91, there's a verse that's not there that I really like. Because after saying that God is our protector, he's our shelter, he's our refuge in time of trouble and distress, in time of temptation, it then says, you shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that prowls in the darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. Now the fathers of the church, dwelling upon this beautiful text, expound it this way. You shall not fear the terror of the night. That's the anxiety that rises within the human heart. That I feel in the moment of temptation too weak to be able to resist. And I become distressed and I become overwhelmed. And the anxiety within me is that I'm not good enough and I can't possibly sustain this. But the assurance is with God, you shall not fear the terror of the night. You shall not be held to ransom by your own fears, by your own anxieties. But you shall have the inner strength from God, from Christ who dwells within you, to live the life of victory that Jesus has won for you in the desert. Because in the desert, we know that the way that's told in the Gospels is that it really represents every temptation. And as Scripture says in Hebrews, he was tempted in every way we are, but he did not sin. So he has been there before you. And so no matter what sort of anxiety that drives within you to lead you to some sort of sinful practice, you are able to stand firm and strong. So you do not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. That's the hot temptations, the ones that come strong and hot, lustful temptations. Now, temptation to greed, temptation to anger, temptation to get your own back by revenge, temptation to speak spitefully to someone, that sort of temptation. It's a hot temptation. It's an arrow, like it's a burning arrow, like they used to fire in those days, you know, the flaming arrows. It's like that. And they can do great damage, but you see, you've been given the shield of faith, as Paul says, huh? To hold up against the fiery darts of the evil one. And you hold up your shield of faith, your trust in God. That's your faith. Your trust in the God. We are the ones who put our faith in God's love for us. And if he loves us, he will sustain us. He will keep us firm. He will keep us strong in every moment of temptation. No matter how hot it is, no matter how strong it is, no matter how intense the passion is, it doesn't matter. Because God is with you. That's your assurance, huh? And you shall not fear the plague that prowls in the darkness. The fathers tell us the plague that prowls in the darkness is the big temptation of the evil one, the one you don't first detect, the temptation to discouragement, temptation to think, I'm hopeless, I'm not going to make it, I'm useless. Here I go again into my old habits again, and I go down into discouragement. You see, the discouragement that comes after a fall is worse than the fall itself. That's where the enemy plays most, because he wants to take you out of the game. He wants to tear you down and make you feel useless and nothing within yourself and hopeless and an idiot, and he wants to sort of make you feel that you've got nothing going for yourself, and it leads you down into despondency and then ultimately to despair. That's his purpose. That's the plague that prowls in the darkness, you see. And you need to be able to put the truth of Jesus into your head at that time, not to succumb to the stinking thinking of the negative ways that the evil one will put into your mind. There used to be a song that we sang many years ago. I can't remember the name of the songster even. That's how old I am. And it used to go like this. Are you living as a dead man in a dead man's rubble? Are you living in a dead man's rubble, listening to the father of lies? Or are you living as a new creation, listening to the father of life? Who are you listening to inside yourself? The father of lies who tears you down, he's the accuser of the brethren. He is the father of lies. The accuser of the brethren, he tears you down all the time, accuses you, condemns you, makes you feel rotten, tears you to pieces. But the Father of life builds you up by his voice within you. His spirit at work within you gives you encouragement. The evil one gives you discouragement. That's the big enemy. So when you notice that happening in your heart, turn to the Lord of all mercies and throw yourself upon him and make an act of confidence in God. Because he lifts you up out of the miry clay and he puts a new song into your heart if you allow him to. He will not allow you to go down into a heap unless you make it by yourself, by your own self-pitying ways. And then the fourth one is, you shall not fear the scourge that lays waste at noon. What in the world is that? Well, St. Bernard would tell us the scourge that lays waste at noon is the noontide devil. And this is one that the monks identify, because it's a hot day and they're sitting in their cell and they didn't have air conditioning in those days, huh? And they're supposed to stay in their cell praying, but they get tempted to go and do what God does not want them to do. Something else. Slack off, go off into something else that's a bit more exciting and more interesting, but it's not what God wants them to do. That's the noontide devil. It comes to you to try and just displace you from where you're meant to be in God. Just veer away a little bit from your real purpose, that temptation. It's one that comes to people, especially who are moving ahead in the spiritual life. And all of a sudden they get this temptation to go off and do something that's totally crazy and totally stupid, but they think it's going to be very exciting and wonderful. But in God's purpose, it's not what is for them. The noontide devil. Beware of it. But you shall not fear that scourge that lays waste at noon. If you turn constantly to the living God, the one who has baptized you as Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the one who has spoken those words into your heart as Jesus had them spoken into his heart. You are my son, you are my daughter, you're my beloved, you're my favored one. I cherish you, I love you. Don't forget of my love for you. Don't go off wandering into the ways of the evil one. Allow me to protect you. Allow me to guide you. Allow me to keep you. Allow me to sustain you. Allow me to take you into my heart and live in my heart always. And bless his name.